This is Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. December 18th is International Migrants Day, a day set aside by the United Nations to remind people of the problems faced by migrant workers and their families. I talked to Chidi King about the issue. Ms. King is the policy officer responsible for migrant issues at the International Trade Union Confederation, the ITUC. I asked her who the migrants were and why they left their home countries.
According to recent estimates, there are 232 million people migrating today internationally, and some 90% of those people are looking for work. So this clearly illustrates a failure of governments to develop the conditions that enable people to stay at home and to work in conditions where they can earn a living that enables them to live in decency and dignity. It is to us quite shocking as well that about 50% of today's migrants now are women also migrating for work. It used to be that the majority of the world's labor migrants, if I can put it that way, were male, but we're seeing the increasing feminization of a migration, which is also indicative of a global shortage in social and healthcare workers, which is driving this. So one of the main factors for migration today is the lack of decent work in migrants' countries of origin. Migrants looking for better work opportunities in their countries of destination, unfortunately, very often not finding those better opportunities that they go in search for. Instead of better working conditions, equal treatment with local workers, instead of higher wages, they often find themselves working in the most vulnerable jobs, usually on short-term contracts. They face many challenges, including very often not receiving the wages to which they're entitled. They find themselves often in poor living conditions, especially when the housing is provided by the employer. And today as well, we're seeing an increase in the incidence of trafficking for labor exploitation.
In the past couple of months, there have been many reports about migrant workers from Africa dying as they try to reach the Italian island of Lampedusa and therefore Europe. What can be done about this situation?
I think perhaps the first thing to say is while the tragedies that we've all heard of happening in and around Lampedusa really bring home the conditions in which people are seeking to cross borders today, that Lampedusa, unfortunately, is not an isolated incident, and that we see other tragedies happening in other parts of the world, the Sahel region, for example, where people are migrating in the most awful and desperate circumstances. And again, usually looking for a better way of life, wanting to be able to live in dignity.
How are governments handling the issue of migration?
What we see, unfortunately, across the world is a failure of the global governance of migration. So we see that governments, instead of turning away, in fact, from their fundamental obligations to protect the rights of workers, including migrant workers, and they're looking instead at controlling migration. So they're reducing the opportunities for migrants to migrate in conditions of safety, which opens up, of course, the door again to traffickers and to people using, you know, these perilous routes of migration. The one thing that governments need to do is to, first of all, concentrate more on securing the protection of the rights of migrants, put the emphasis on that. And in fact, this was a conclusion that governments reached quite recently in October at a United Nations high-level dialogue on migration and development. Look again at opening channels, safe channels of migration, rather than restricting them. And this should be done in consultation with the social partners, so with employers and trade unions.
Sharon Burrell, the General Secretary of the organization you work for, the ITUC, has been especially vocal about the situation of the migrant workers in the Gulf state of Qatar. Qatar, as you know, is preparing for the World Cup of football to be held in 2022. Tell us about Qatar and the migrant workers in the country.
Well, I think Qatar really represents pretty much all that is wrong with the global governance of migration today, particularly when you bring it down to national level and the way in which governments look at their responsibilities to protect the rights of migrants. Some 94% of workers in Qatar are migrant workers, and they work in the most appalling conditions, irrespective of whether they're skilled workers or unskilled workers. So I guess in that sense, you could say at least Qatar doesn't discriminate along those lines. But frequently, we see cases of non-payment of wages or severe delays in wages. We see cases where, of course, Qatar operating the kafala or sponsorship system, where workers are tied to their employers, they simply cannot leave abusive conditions when they encounter them. Added to this, in order to actually escape the country, the workers also need the permit or the permission of the employers to obtain their exit permits. So again, you know, another restriction on their ability to escape abusive conditions. We see extremely long hours of work. We see migrants having to even travel up to 4 hours to and from their place of work. We see an increasing number of women and children being held in detention centers. And we see also the lack of any sort of representative voice as well. Migrant workers simply are not allowed to organize themselves. They're not allowed to bargain collectively to improve their awful conditions in Qatar.
What can labor unions do to help migrant workers and their families?
First thing is unions need to be open to organizing migrant workers. And given the importance that migration plays in the global labor market, I think this needs to be a priority on the agenda of unions all over the place. The first thing is being able to bring migrant workers together collectively in order to be able to defend their rights themselves, in order to know what those rights are, of course, in the first place, and it be able to access those rights. And this is exactly what unions are seeking to do in Qatar and in other places around the world, is to reach migrant workers, inform them of their rights, and you know, enable them to organize themselves into trade unions, be able to assert and defend those rights. We're also, of course, advocating very strongly towards the Qatar government and the international community, not only to raise awareness of the situation in Qatar, a situation that's faced, I have to say, as well, by too many other migrant workers in too many other countries of the world, but also to put some pressure on the Qatari government, indeed, to ratify ILO conventions on freedom of association, on collective bargaining, the two ILO conventions, 97 and 143, which relate specifically to the rights of migrant workers, and, of course, Convention 189 on the rights of domestic workers, so in some of the most vulnerable situations out there, and the UN Convention on the Rights of Migrant Workers and their Families.